Very dear sisters and dear brethren in Christ, God has brought me from far away in your midst. It is always a great event when two people meet, as if two worlds would come together. But when two children of God, when those who fear the Lord meet, then it is such a great event that Jesus himself says, I will be in your midst. I am so very glad to meet you. I thank you, every one of you, for being with me. And I would like to tell you that not only I am happy, it is written that whenever those who fear the Lord come together, the Lord listens to those who speak together. It's so important for him. You are his children, beloved by him. And then the angels of God are around you. And the angels of God write a book. The angels of God know you, everyone. And the angels of God know to read your heart. Many, many things which your neighbor would never observe and would never know. The angels of God read in your heart. And even your tears, hidden before those around you, the angels of God see them and will wipe them away. And as the book is written, this morning I pray to God that he may fill your heart with his peace, with his grace, and with his deep compassion. Because not only the angels of God are this morning here together with you, I bring also with me your brethren and your sisters from one third of the world, from the communist camp. May God fill your heart with his deep compassion in order to be able to see the angels which are around you and to feel with your many suffering, fighting brethren and sisters from the communist camp. My homeland, Romania, is one of those countries under communist regime. It is a world apart. I looked at your beautiful children, and in a second I was back in Romania. When we were put in prison, 100,000 men, is somebody here who knows to count? 100,000 men were arrested and put in prisons and in slave labor camps when the communists took over my homeland. And that was only the beginning. When the Christian men were put in prison, the Christian women did not have time to discuss it as you make it here in newspapers and all kind of philosophy. Could ever a woman work in the kingdom of God like the men do? We didn't have time to discuss it. When the men were put in prison, the Christian women took over the work in the churches all over. The communists looked amazed. They were not prepared to see it. And when they saw that the Christian women meant it, that they were ready to serve Jesus from all their heart with all their life, then after some 2 years, 2 years and a half, the communists arrested thousands of women. Then we were put in prison. The father was already in prison. Now the mother was put in prison. The children on the street, without father, without mother, hungry, trying to find something to eat in the garbage, and it was not the Australian garbage. In Romania there was hunger. So a friend of ours, a Sunday school teacher, just as your beautiful Sunday school teacher, gathered a few of the children of the Christians who were arrested, and gathered also our children and took care of them. For this, her crime, just the crime as your Sunday school has done this morning, that our sister, Alice, was later put in prison and sentenced to 8 years of prison. She was so beaten. She was so tortured. All her teeth broke. She's an invalid even today. So I looked at your beautiful children and rejoiced and asked myself, did you ever realize how rich you are? How blessed you are? How beautiful you are? Sunday morning, together, Christians all together, in the house of the Lord, reading from a Bible, having a Bible, listening to the Word of God, having a pastor, gathering your children and looking at them and teaching them in the Word of God. Have you ever thanked God for such a privilege? In one third of the world under communist dominion, you never can do it. 700 million are under Islam, and there too there is persecution. This morning, coming from a world apart, because the communist camp is another world, a world of many prisons, of slave labor camps, a world of many fears and of many, many tears, a world of nightmares. But even there, in this world of nightmares, in this world of darkness, God has His own, because the children of God are like the beautiful flowers on the middle, different colors, different flowers, but altogether beautiful, scattered on the middle. So are the children of God, different names, different colors, but altogether loving Jesus, scattered all over the world, and even in the communist countries. From them I bring you greetings and love this morning. I would like to tell you two things which we learned in communist prison. First of all, we learned how rich we are, how rich the children of God are. Would you like to know how rich we are in Romania, in the communist countries? When the women were arrested by the communist guards, we were taken from our home just to give a statement. In 2-3 hours we would be back. we were taken by the police, but we are not allowed to take anything with us. 2-3 hours, we will be back. And so, some of us gave the statement during 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, or 10 years, without having anything absolutely needed. My dear, dear sisters, have you ever looked in the mirror? Have you ever seen how beautiful you are? Have you ever thanked God for this? I was brought to a subterranean prison cell in the month of November when it is very cold with us. And I found there a young Christian teacher, perhaps 32 or 33 years old. It's very cold in the month of November. She was arrested in the month of August, when it is very hot with us, it is summertime. So she was taken from her home, dressed in a pretty white silk dress, without anything else. And here I found her in the month of November, from August to November, day and night, dressed in her pretty white silk dress, without any possibility of washing. Perhaps my sisters could understand much more than I can put in words in a public meeting. When I stand before you, should I speak about the hunger which thousands and thousands of Christians endure today in communist prisons? We were so hungry that during the night we would awake and we would cry, "I'm hungry, I'm hungry." Nobody could help us. But we could not sleep, so great was the hunger. Should I speak to you about the beatings, about the torture, about the asylums for madmen where our brethren are put only because they lost Jesus? Of standing before you, my dear sisters, may I mention the shame which your sisters endure if they are very hungry. We were sick, we were beaten, but we were so very dirty. And then the examining officer took us out from the subterranean prison cell, brought us in his office, and from his drawer he took out a little mirror. He gave the mirror in the hands of our sister, and mocking he said, "Look how beautiful you are." "Why are you so foolish? Why do you speak about your God? Where is your God? Look how beautiful you are." Hungry, sick, dirty. "Your children, they are in our hands. We, the communists, we have all the power. Sign a statement." "You don't need this, your God, this, your faith, Jesus. We, the communists, we have all the power. Sign a statement here that you don't believe anymore in God, and you will be free. You will be with your children." Now, when the children were mentioned only, immediately tears were on the face of this, our sister. We didn't know anything about our children. Dear sisters, you have your children. How rich you are. love them and treasure them. Give them your best. Give them your time. Give them your love. Give them your Savior. They will need Him. And so the sister stood there before the examining officer. She herself horrified to see in the little mirror how she looked like. She didn't know what to answer. A few seconds passed, then the Lord Himself gave her the right words. She said, "Mr. Officer, I know that my children are in your hands. But I cannot deny my Savior, for I know that there is written in our Bible, there will be a day when every knee will bow before Jesus, my Savior and the Son of God. And even you, Mr. Officer, will have to bend your knees before Him." The officer went in a rage. How does a woman, a prisoner, dare to answer? He beat her, sent her back to the prison cell. And it was only after years that we found out how God had blessed this witness in tears. The wife of this officer ran away with a colleague of his and left him behind with three small children. So he looked around to find somebody to help him with the three small children. An elderly lady came in his house, helped with the children, and after years, the same officer who had beaten the Christians bent his knees together with his children before Jesus as his Savior and Lord. In utter poverty, not having a bit of paper, never a book, never did we see a Bible, we discovered at once that we were so rich, having the Word of God in our heart. And the richness, the Word of God, everything had been taken away from us. Nobody could take away what we had in our heart, a little bit of faith, a little bit of hope. And the Word of God gathered here. And we saw how one word from the Bible, taken out from the heart of a hungry Christian and given to some prisoner in despair, brought new hope, new life. Mothers were given back to their children. Only because of this richness, when we were free, we had our Bibles, we didn't realize what it means, how rich we were having the Word of God. You have your Bibles. Dear sisters and brethren, it's the greatest richness. Read and treasure it and gather it in your heart. There are so dark clouds all over the world and even over Australia. Who knows how soon you will need this richness, this treasure gathered in your heart, the Word of God. And now, my dear sisters and dear brethren, my time nearly has passed. May I take from you a few minutes more? A little bit I should have. It's all right. would like, because we are Sunday, we are in the house of the Lord. When we worked in slave labor camps, thousands and thousands, very hard work, never could we describe it. Many times the prisoners, the women, would weep many tears and would say, "Oh my Lord, if ever I am free again, never more will I complain about my work. Never more will be one single word of complaint over my lips." And they promised, "Never more will I speak with my husband or with my children as I have spoken." Dear sister, no need to arrive in a communist slave labor camp. Women always have to be gentle and good. Sometimes in the 20th century, we the women, we are not happy. And we would like to have some more rights. And we are ready to fight and to quarrel to have more rights. We would like, the men don't hear us now. We are just speaking syllables among ourselves. We think we would like to be equal with men. And we forget that if God would have liked that we should be just equal and like men, He would have made us men. No need to make a woman who should fight to be like me. As God has made us, He has made us to be gentle and good. The very job of a wife, of a mother, a full-time job, is to be gentle, forgiving, and kind and good. May God help you. And so, there were thousands of women working at the canal, hungry, beaten, mocked by the communists, not knowing anything about our children. There was no Sunday, no Christmas. We worked day by day, and most of the days we didn't know what day it is. Sometimes somebody would whisper while we worked on the field, "It is Sunday." And you could see prisoners, slaves, working and shedding many, many tears, remembering the house of the Lord, the Sunday school, Sunday. It was on such a Sunday when somebody had whispered on the field, "It is Sunday today." When we were brought back to the prison cell in the evening, that four or five women came together to read the Bible for Sunday and to pray together. And because we were not allowed to do it, and because the door of our prison cell had a peephole where the guard always looked in, and we were not allowed to come together to pray, some four or five women went under the bed on the concrete, and there for a few minutes, "I take you with me," a dark, damp, cold prison cell. Four or five Christians sitting on the concrete, hungry, shivering for cold, and reading the Bible. We didn't have a Bible, but we had among us Christians who knew whole chapters from the Old and from the New Testament by heart. And there we sat on the Sunday evening, reading by heart from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 6. Do you remember about whom it is written in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 6? About whom? Yes, about Stephen, the first martyr. And there we sat, the whole chapter, we read it, and would somebody please read the last verse from the chapter? We arrived at the end of the chapter, and everyone of those sitting there, shivering for cold, said something in connection with the chapter which we have read. Please read the last verse. Would you, loud?
Fixing their gaze on him, all who were sitting in the council saw his face like the face of an angel.
Stephen stands before his judges, before his enemies. He knows that he will be put to death. And the last verse tells us that the judges, his enemies, looked at him, at Stephen, and saw his face so beautiful, like the face of an angel. So I'm sorry, I don't have time to bring before you all the beautiful thoughts which the one and the other said in connection with Stephen. We were Christians there under the bed, but we had one lady who was not a Christian. She was the wife of, how you call him, the premier. Do you call him so? He was the political leader of our country before the communists came. Now he was in prison together with men, and she was here in prison together with the Christian women. And while the one and the other said something in connection with this chapter, this lady, who was one of the richest ladies of the country before being put to prison, now she said, I like it to be with you, the Christian women, because I consider you, the Christians, intelligent women. But I could not understand how you, intelligent women, how you can believe all this which is written in your Bible. How could you believe it, that Stephen, passing through such a crisis, standing before death, how could you believe it, that he could be beautiful like an angel? In what beauty parlor has he been in order to be so beautiful in this moment of crisis, of fear, standing before death? Another Christian, we are still on the concrete under the bed. Another Christian answered, you don't know Jesus, therefore you cannot understand it. Whenever you open your heart and you bring Jesus in your heart, he never comes alone. He comes with his holy angels, and the glory of God shines over you and makes you beautiful. It is a beauty parlor of Jesus. And while we spoke so, at once the door was opened, the guard entered and came directly to the place where we thought we were hidden, took us out all together, out of the cell, and gave a beating to every one of us. But a beating, as the communists give it to our Christian brethren even today. Out of the cell, and gave a beating to every one of us. But a beating, as the communists give it to our Christian brethren even today. And then he threw us back in the prison cell. We, the Christians, we knew the price we had to pay whenever we wished to come together and to pray together. But we were afraid about this lady who was not a Christian. How will she react to this beating? The very first who came to speak with me was this Christian lady. She said, "Today I have understood better. The very fact that the communists fight against God is the best proof that God is. If there would be no God, as the communists say, they would not fight against him. The very fact that they beat the Christians is the best proof that Jesus is the Savior. And your God will be my God, and Jesus will be my Savior forever." And she did not know that her face besmeared with blood, mingled with many tears, shone now beautiful with the glory of God. She had passed through the beauty parlor of Jesus. You have here a chorus. "Jesus loves me." How is it, brother? How is it? "Jesus loves me." How is it called? In communist countries, we didn't have Bibles. And so we have changed the chorus. "Jesus loves me. Yes, I know. For their faces tell me so. The shining faces of your suffering brethren and sisters, shining with the glory of God, has made it that even communist guards have learned to repeat, 'Jesus loves me.' Yes, I know, for their faces tell me so." He had beaten the Christians and saw the glory of God shining over them, and has arrived to throw away the rubber truncheon and to repeat again and again, "Jesus loves me. Yes, I know, for their faces tell me so." My dear, dear sisters and brethren, in hunger, in tears, and in great suffering, we have learned two things. First of all, to see how rich God has made us, giving us such a Savior and giving us in the dark world the life of His Word. And then we have learned the second thing, how wonderful the Savior Jesus is. His name is wonderful. We have seen in communist prisons His wonders, His miracles, All glory belongs to Him. And we have understood His name is wonderful. His deeds are wonderful. And one thing more we have learned, and I would like to convey to you. His name is wonderful. He is a wonderful Savior, Jesus, the Son of God. His deeds are wonderful. And wonderful are all those who belong to Him, because He puts His name over you. His name is wonderful. Wonderful are you, all those who belong to Him. Let us never forget. There's a world with many problems. 50 years in Australia too. Sometimes with fears, problems which we don't know to solve. How will I come out? Don't forget. We are in the world, but we are not like all those around us. Because we are very rich, having Him, Jesus. And we have Him, His name is wonderful. And we are wonderful because He has paid a price for us and has made us His. May God bless you all. May God fill your heart with His glory, and His glory will shine over you. And may God make you a blessing for your home, for your beloved ones, and make you a blessing for beautiful Australia, who needs your richness, your blessing. May God bless you.